Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Nathan Totten, and as always, or as usual, I guess, I'm joined by Nick Harris here, who
that is
has,
me.
You have you just returned from
Australia.
Yes, yeah. Very exciting. You were on vacation, right?
No, come on, man.
For 2 months.
Yeah. No, I had quite a few events. So we had. Well, did you cover off the events that you'd been to recently? Last episode.
Yeah, I think I mentioned. So there was Tech Ed Europe and.
Yeah,
North America and some dev camps and whatnot.
Australia, New Zealand, and all over the shop. And then took a holiday and went swimming on the Great Barrier Reef.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And then you and I are going back to Australia and New Zealand.
Yep.
The first and second week of September.
That's
for
right.
Tech Ed Australia and Tech Ed New Zealand. So,
yep.
So we get to go you get to enjoy that 22-hour plane flight again.
Yes, it
awesome.
Should be most enjoyable, particularly if I don't have to sit next to you.
yes. So today's pretty exciting. We're actually recording this on the 1st, on Wednesday. We're not going to release it until Friday, but today is obviously a really big day for Microsoft in general. Windows 8 has RTM'd,
yes. So
that's huge. There's obviously tons of blog posts about that, so we're not going to cover that. Also, the store is open, so I know we've covered the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8 a lot to help developers build Windows 8 apps that I presume, you know, presumably will, a lot of them will get published in the store. Starting today, you can now, I guess actually starting once people get the RTM bits, you'll be able to publish those to the store.
And if you are using the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8, or the associated NuGet packages, we'd surely like to hear about the apps you're building with it. So please feel free to sort of reach out to us on Twitter and such.
Cool. And you'll be providing an update for that on the 15th, or I guess by the 15th, when Windows 8's going to ship. Windows 8 RTM will be available on MSDN and TechNet then, and you're going to have the toolkit updated.
Sounds like you're twisting my arm. Yeah, no, of course it'll be up to date and ready to go from CodePlex.
Of course, because you didn't miss the last release at all.
Nope.
I'm just kidding.
All the
shame you feel about
all the NuGets are up to date.
Oh, the NuGets are just not the okay. Cool, cool. So that's pretty exciting. Along those same lines, Windows Server 2012 has been released. So, released to manufacturing also, and looks like developers will be able to get Windows 8, the client version, on the 15th for RTM. GA is the 26th. And then Windows Server
26th of October.
Yes, and then Windows Server 2012 looks like will be available sometime on September 4th. Cool. So that's exciting.
At 11:59 p.m. No, just joking.
and then along those lines, also Jason Zander announced the final version of Visual Studio 2012 is also done along the same lines. So, and that will also be available for download on August 15th on MSDN and TechNet and the various other sources. And also we should have the Windows Azure tools will have like a refresh to work on RTM, because right now they're for release candidates. So and I'm just going to say is going to be available then. I actually don't know, but probably will be. Hopefully, fingers crossed, right? We don't have a blog post about that, but I'm just going to go ahead and announce that, and then they'll get it done, right?
Presumably they'll have you in a room for 24 hours a day programming.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's about it for our kind of developer related news. Some pretty big stuff. We have as usual some Windows Azure news items. You seem to have grown this week. Is that something? Being in Australia, you took some supplements.
No,
or
down
something?
There, the gravity isn't the same as up here. It's completely different.
Awesome.
Or maybe it's all the long haul flights. You know, less effects of gravity up in the air.
I suppose. So, yes.
The further away you get from the core, so possibly.
The further away, from the core.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. Next week on Cloud Cover, we'll have a astrophysics lesson by you. I'm going to make you prepare some complicated math diagrams explaining gravity and things like that.
Okay. It's easy. Just pull up Wikipedia.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, we forgot to put Wikipedia in the background. Oh, well. I think I forgot last week also. I've been getting lazy. I didn't even do a tip of the week last week because you were gone.
We'll have to fix that this week.
Anywho. So the next thing is security and compliance. We actually had an episode with Krishna about, I don't know, 2 months ago or so about security and compliance. We announced now we have HIPAA support, which is awesome, because I believe I mentioned HIPAA support like 15 times in that episode, and I had to put a correction that we don't actually support HIPAA.
So for people that don't know what HIPAA is, what is it?
So it's the, I don't know what exactly it stands for, but it's a health, and there's two HIPAA and HITECH, I guess, which are two healthcare-related compliance topics. So now the thing is, it doesn't cover, it looks like it doesn't cover necessarily all of Windows Azure, which is all of our, which is how most of our security works. We have on our compliance page kind of a diagram, but the core services, the VMs, cloud services, storage. And then our networking layer all basically have compliance for all, we offer compliance for the ISO 27001 all the way up to the HIPAA.
Awesome.
So, which is really cool. I mean, that, and also, so I think this enables true, like complete public cloud applications that require HIPAA compliance. We also offer compliance in both the public and private cloud. So you can build hybrid applications that actually are HIPAA compliant also. So it's really exciting. So yeah, I assume a lot of people I know have been asking about HIPAA and those sort of compliance things. So we're moving in that direction, which is great to see. So, and with VMs, it should make it really easy for a lot of people just to port their existing applications that require HIPAA compliance over to Windows Azure now, if they so choose. Next bit of news is, our friend Vittorio and his team have released the Windows Azure AD authentication, or Windows Azure Authentication Library. So this is basically a new library. I think last week we announced the availability of Windows Azure Active Directory, or a couple weeks ago. And so now they basically have, this is a .NET library for doing all your authentication. We're supposed to Vittorio is going to be on the show next
week. Captain Identity.
You
refer to him by his real name.
Yes, he's
Admiral Identity.
He's been promoted. Right. So yeah, Vittorio should be on next week to actually talk more in detail about that. So I'm not going to go into too much detail.
Okay.
But right now it looks like it's a .NET only library, and they will, I think, be coming, what can you expect going forward? I believe, they note more platforms. So they'll be supporting, I assume, all of the platforms that we support on Windows Azure eventually. So some cool stuff for authentication.
Yep.
And let's see, the next one I'll let you go ahead and take.
Java resources. Okay, yes. So... there's been some updates to the Java resources that are available.
Yep.
What are you smiling at?
You're reading off this.
You're just happy I'm back, aren't you? But so basically there's a whole lot of tutorials now that show you how to get the Java application server and such up and running in a Windows Azure VM.
Cool.
So if you scroll down, there's three tutorials. So the first two are there. And then there's a third one there, as well as how to use ACS from a Java application. And there's new tooling within Eclipse for that as well. So it's pretty cool from the Java front that we've got Azure tooling within Eclipse IDE.
Cool. Awesome.
Yep.
So that's our news for today. This episode, we don't actually have one specific area of content. We actually have, since we've only actually had one episode since the June release, which was obviously a huge release, what we thought we'd do this week is actually go through a lot of the content that we've shipped sort of around the June release. So things related to Windows Azure websites, VMs, all that. There's a lot of sample content available. Actually, we're going to focus mostly this episode on the stuff that's been released and the samples that are available for Windows Azure websites. And then also the Windows 8 stuff.
Yep.
There's a few other things in there, but we probably should do another episode somewhat soon that basically goes through all the samples and content that are available for virtual machines and things like that. But Michael is on vacation in Hawaii. Outrageous. So we should have had made him join us on Skype on his vacation.
Send him some questions.
Yeah. Yeah, we should ask. Michael, what me?
We can get the audience to send all their VM questions to Michael.
Yes, we'll put his email address. No.
It's right here.
Yes, I'm sure he'll love that. But yeah, we should. We'll go over. We'll have another episode somewhat soon where we go over some of the VM stuff. But right now, we're going to concentrate mostly on the Windows Azure website samples
and virtual networks. We need to do an episode on that.
And virtual networks. Yeah, absolutely. So. So the first one, which I'm not going to demo, just talk through really quick, I wrote a blog post Just a, I guess last week, or I don't even remember, 2 weeks ago maybe. It's as part of a series, a three-part series. I've only published one post, and this is basically describes how to build Facebook apps and publish them to Windows Azure websites. So this is something that I think a lot of people have been asking for. Basically, I integrate the Facebook C# SDK. We talk about how to do authentication, yep. Not using ACS, just raw Facebook authentication. Of course, you could use ACS if you wanted to, but since I'm only supporting one auth type, it didn't really make sense to use ACS. I just did Facebook auth in general, and then basically I walk through how to you know, create that, do the authorization on Facebook, and then how to publish that application to Windows Azure websites. So yeah, so that's the first sample. It's available on GitHub. I basically have the walkthrough here. I think some useful things in there, especially if you're building a Facebook app and using the new Windows Azure websites. It's okay. Super easy to publish that and get started. Yeah. Like, you know, really, this is it's a somewhat long blog post, but it's really only like a 20-minute basically code sample where you can go through and, you know, write this all and then publish it to Windows Azure websites almost instantly, and have your Facebook app running up really quick.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's our first sample. The next one I want to do a little quick demo about. So we also released this Windows Azure Websites cloud survey application. So if you actually watch some of the Tech Ed sessions for Windows Azure, let's see, it was Bill Staples, Tech Ed North America, Windows Azure Websites. He actually used this cloud survey sample in his Learn Windows Azure Tech Ed session. So the cloud survey application is, I think it's a pretty fun sample. It uses ASP.NET and MVC4, so all the, you know, new stuff, the web APIs. But then it also uses Ember.js. Ember.js is sort of like, if you're familiar with Knockout.js or Backbone.js, it's a client-side JavaScript library that allows developers to build these really rich client-side applications. So we've built this application using, basically it's using all client-side UI, the Ember.js library on the front end, and then it's using the ASP.NET web APIs on the back end to, you know, save surveys, things like that. So it's pretty cool, and the thing you'll notice, though, is it's like a super responsive application. You know, it doesn't do page refreshes for most things. It's just, it's all client-side. Okay. So I have that kind of set up here just to run. Let me just run that, and we'll see. Kind of, I'll show you how it works a little bit. So I've got a couple surveys loaded up here. But what you'll notice here is it's really, really fast, really responsive. So we're using again the Ember.js library. We can add questions and save this. Hello. That's a question. Yes or no. So there's no save button or anything on this, so it's all client-side. And again, we're just, every time we make a change, we basically persist that to the back end. We're using SQL in the back end, Windows Azure SQL databases, web APIs. And then similarly, we have a summary application. And this actually uses the summary application. Let me go to this survey. The summary uses actually SignalR to update the results in real time. So
pull it on the side.
So let me.
You can do Windows key left and right.
All right. What time is it?
3 a.m.
Just three. ASDF, no.
Yeah.
And
no.
No.
But if you say hello, as though, are you there, and you answer no, it's really, really not a great question. You should work
and
on that.
And submit. So I don't know
so
what
it was
you're doing.
Immediate there,
so it was immediate, so. Yeah. So
how's that working there?
So that's with, we're using SignalR. So so we're actually pushing that data back to the client. Since it is running on Windows Azure websites on IS 7.5, currently, it's not using WebSocket since it's not supported yet in IS 7.5. So we're just doing long polling on here. Obviously, we will support Windows Server 2012, which has IIS 8. Eventually, we'll upgrade Windows Azure websites to that and support that on cloud services and VMs and such, so that you'll actually be able to do WebSockets. But SignalR works the same regardless of it. It's just basically a different backend provider for it.
So, what are you using for the graphing?
The graphing, I think we're just using an open source library called Floater, just a simple HTML5 JavaScript library.
Nice.
So yeah, pretty simple sample, but it kind of shows how to build these rich client side applications and using using Windows Azure websites and SQL database, things like that. So that's sample number two. So our next one is this My Picture sample, which this is a sample we've had out for quite a while, I think.
A couple months, maybe.
Really? No, I think quite a bit longer. So the cool thing, Brady Gaster actually went and updated the My Pictures sample to now run on Windows Azure website. So he kind of simplified it. Now it's no longer requires cloud services. You just have Windows Azure website. So he wrote a blog post about it. It's available, and all the samples actually we were going to talk about today are available on GitHub, except probably yours because you still refuse to use GitHub. No. The one holdout.
Yeah, I may push it up by Friday.
To GitHub?
But otherwise, it's available on my blog. We can point
out where that link is. It's available on your blog. So Brady's sample here, My Pictures, is available on GitHub, and also the Windows Azure Code sample site.
Okay.
So moving on. My To-Do. This one is another one that is... This is also really old, isn't it?
Yes.
It's been in many, many... Yeah. Incarnations.
Yep.
So this was probably made by Wade or someone, or even older than that, 20 years ago.
Great to see, though, that you can take an older application that's targeting perhaps cloud services and upgrade it to use Windows Azure websites without too much trouble.
Yeah, and I think he walks through kind of what the conversion process is, but for these two websites, they really shouldn't have been that complicated.
Yeah.
They're not using any custom installation or any COM components or anything crazy like that. So really, most of it was just a matter of probably removing the cloud project
and updating the site.
Like maybe the settings remove the settings from the
service
CF,
config.
Yeah, the service config to the web config or whatever. So
cool.
The My To-Do sample. He also made a lot of improvements to the UI. I think that's been updated. The My To-Do sample, I think initially was like really really basic, and we've made it more pretty as we went along, and this incarnation of it, actually Wade tweeted about it, is the most I guess I can't even remember, he said it was the most beautiful looking version of My To-Do he's seen. So that's our next one.
Cool.
So moving on from there, we're gonna move over to your blog here. And I think you have a demo for us.
Yes, I do.
Do you want to intro this, or do you want to...
Building connected Windows 8 apps with Windows Azure. This is a session that I presented at TechEd North America and TechEd Europe. So basically, it goes through and shows you how you can build a Windows 8 application that leverages Windows Azure and Windows Azure websites, and then storage underneath there. So the key scenarios that it demonstrates is how do you utilize blob storage to store media, and how do you, request a shared access signature from a web API, bring that down, then upload directly to blob storage rather than serializing the image through a web tier. The next thing it goes on to demonstrate is geolocation. How do we use SQL Azure to store, say, that latitude and longitude associated with that photo that was taken or the video that was taken? How do we store that in SQL Azure, and how do we query back that data to find perhaps points within a particular range.
So that explains why a few hours ago you asked me what the longitude and latitude of Europe was, right?
Yes, of course.
Which, was it Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, of course, I was going to say, like, there are many, in Europe, there are many longitude and latitudes, and also... I have no idea. Like, obviously, you should know what the longitude and latitude of Amsterdam is off the top of your head.
The last thing it demonstrates there is push notifications.
Okay.
So perhaps if you slide down a little bit more, we can see that full source is available on the download the source here, and I'll update.
I still am amused that you have it just as just using blob storage. That's awesome. So we have to switch over to your computer.
Yeah.
So let's take a short break.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so this is the sample solution from TechEd. This is the one I built out in Europe. And basically, there's two components to it. There's an ASP.NET MVC4 website, and we've got a Windows 8 client application. In this case, I've chosen to write the code in C# XAML. So if you recall, there were those three key things that we're demonstrating. Storage, in terms of blob storage, geolocation scenario, utilizing SQL Azure, or SQL database, as we call it now, and push notifications. So I think perhaps the easiest way to see this working is to do a demo. And then we can have a look at some of the code snippets, and then refer out possibly to the pre-recorded session that goes through it in depth. So let's spin it
we'll
up.
Edit that session into this show.
It'll be the epic longest session we've ever had. Maybe if it like 1.6 play speed or something like that. But so now I'm spinning up the server component here. So once that spins up, we'll be able to see that we've just got a stock standard MVC application. All right.
There we go.
So there we go. So there's the services. Let's spin up the client. So this is the client we build out, and we'll do a demo of what it actually does. So we're going to perhaps take a photo and then have that uploaded to Blob Storage, and then a thumbnail come down from that as a push notification. So what's happening now is it's just going and it's using the geolocator class from the WinRT API to go and find out where I am. And you'll note that my laptop doesn't have a GPS mm-hmm. within it. So under the hood, it's using a GeoIP lookup to go yep. and find out where we are. And it's actually quite accurate. You can see that we're in Microsoft Building 20. So cool. That is the studio. And we are actually somewhere out the back. So that's pretty sweet. But if we zoom out, you can see while I've done these other demos that we've actually got some pictures and videos and just media in general that's stored here. So let's do a demo of one. So let's take a photo. Now, the first thing that it's asking here is we're using the camera capture mm-hmm. UI from Windows 8. It's saying, can we use your webcam? So this is something that users will be prompted the first time around when they do this to say, you know, do we approve this application to be able to use this device resource? So if I get this just about right, it looks like I've got a halo there. Awesome. So we'll take a photo. And now we'll use this. So this is an aspect ratio that I've set to be specific to the same aspect ratio as a wide tile push notification.
Oh, okay, yep.
So if we crop this to the right size, we can resize it in Azure to go and push that down as a push notification. So you can see that picture's just shown up here. So behind the scenes, we've actually requested a shared access signature, taken that photo and uploaded it to storage, and I've just clicked on that point of interest, and it's returned back that that image to me.
Nice.
Thanks. I know I'm a handsome man, and I get that comment all the time. that's basically it. But if we come out now, we should be able to see that soon enough we'll have a push notification show up with that image thumbnailed.
Cool.
So they're the three things that it's doing. Take image, store it in Blob Storage, add a location to that so you know where that photo was taken. And as we've seen, the picture push pin was in Redmond. And then thumbnail that down and send a push notification.
Yep. I noticed you had a pin of Texas. You were not in Texas as far as I know.
No, I was not in Texas, but that one's sort of an interesting scenario. So what happened there was at TechEd North America, I think it was TechEd North America, there was satellite trucks out the back, so our internet was going via them somewhere in
Texas. They must have their IP registered in Houston.
Yeah, so it comes straight in there. Probably look at what building is there and figure out who it is.
It's a convention center. I wonder if that was the last convention center they were at or something.
Yeah. So that's
interesting.
That's sort of interesting. But again, if you've got GPS, well, then it's more accurate.
Yep.
There will be some scenarios, perhaps, if it's just using under the hood the IP lookup that
yep.
perhaps you're going out through another means and the IP is from a different region.
Gotcha.
We can see here that we've got push pins everywhere, so they're from the events we've done. We can also take video on this, so let's have a quick look at some video. So if we go in here, here's a video from TechEd Amsterdam. So if I click on this guy, it's going out and it's grabbing it from Blob Storage and pulling it down right now. Come down. Look at that.
Oh, wow. People seem to love your session. Oh,
yeah. There we go. So pretty cool. How was your applause for your session?
There was no applause like that.
That's all right.
They seem very enthusiastic.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool session.
Cool.
Right, so let's look at the code. So what we've got here is our client application. So I sort of prefer working at the service tier first and then building the client app. So perhaps we'll do that today. So if we look in our controllers here, you can see that I've got three controllers. Home controller, location controller, values controller. These ones are just default ones. The two real interesting ones for this scenario are these two. So let's look at the Blob SAS controller here. So basically what the Blob SAS controller does is it allows the client application to call in to this service with a container name and a blob name and retrieve a shared access signature that allows the client app to upload directly to the storage account. So where that's good is it means you're taking off the load of, say, uploading that 1 meg image or 2 meg image or, you know, 100 meg video through a web tier to now say, well, let's just return back this small shared access signature, and then you can upload directly to the storage service. So it dramatically reduces the load on your web tier and reduces the need to scale out, you know, early on when you start getting some form of load. So simple get operation, and probably the key portion here is the get shared access signature method, which returns a shared access signature back. We won't step through all the code because that'll make it quite a long session. I'd just probably say refer out to channel 9 and watch the session there.
Yep, and we'll put a link to that video.
Yep. So that's the shared access signature portion. The location portion is quite straightforward as well. So what I've done there is I've used the geography data type in SQL Azure to allow me to persist a latitude and longitude associated to those images. And then I've provided two methods on top of that. The first one is a post method. And this post method allows you to add a point of interest, which is, you know, where that location of that image was taken. And the second thing that we do here is the, coming down, the get. So this is a radial search. And for that, again, the sample code that I've provided has the details of how to perform a radial search using the SD distance method provided.
And you're using, in here, you're in this example, you're using a stored procedure, correct?
Yes.
Which is because EF4, or is it 5? EF5. In .NET 4.5 now supports the geospatial type, but because you're publishing this to Windows Azure, which doesn't yet have .NET 4.5, although it will soon, you're using .NET 4.0.
Yes.
So, but in the future, you'd be able to use the new spatial data type in to make it actually even easier.
Yeah. So, in this sample, you know, I've got the scripted SQL statements to create the table, to create the stored procs, and then I build out an EF 4.3.1. data tier on top of that, and that is due to that current constraint that we're not running 4.5 in Azure at the current point in time because it's not yet, you know, GA'd.
Gotcha.
So once that goes away, Entity Framework 5 supports the DB geography data type. Off the bat, it's in system.data.spatial, and it means that you can build out your data tiers extremely fast using EF code first.
Yep.
And you're not going to have to script any SQL or write any stored procedures. It's quite cool, really. So I'm really looking forward to
that. Yeah, we actually use the... You can use code first in .NET 4.0. It's just the spatial data type and some other things like using enums.
Yeah.
In the cloud survey sample that we talked about earlier in the show, we actually do... I do use EF code first in there, and I do, like, I seed the database using EF code first and generate the database that way. So you can actually deploy the cloud survey sample without a database created, and it'll create the DB, pop, you know, create the tables, and actually seed it with basic information.
Yep. Nice. Yeah, and perhaps the last thing in the service tier is, so we've seen the getting a shared access signature. We've seen how you add a point of interest and how you do a radial search on that to pull back items on the map. The last thing from the demo that we recall was that tile notification turning up. So what I did for that particular scenario is I added in a... this could be considered slightly a hack. There are better ways to architect this portion of the solution. But basically what I'm doing here is taking that image that was uploaded to Blob Storage, pulling it back into the web tier, and then resizing that into a thumbnail that's the right size, which is 310 by 150 for a wide tile on the start screen.
I see.
So if you wanted to decouple this architecture, then perhaps you'd use service bus queues or Windows Azure storage queues and have a worker role that does this in the background.
Yep. But,
it's very hard to build all of that in the short amount of time that we've
got. But this, I mean, for a lot of people, this is going to be enough. You know, some smaller, simpler applications, you don't necessarily want to have those extra costs associated with a worker role. So you can do some lightweight worker processes like you've done in a different thread in a web role. It just there are some constraints. I mean, it can't run for, I think after It's probably like a minute or something. You can't have a process that's going to run forever. Like, they'll eventually kill your process. So
yeah. So the one piece which I wanted to point out here is sending a notification. So to send a notification, we've got a few NuGet packages at the moment that are available to do that. It's called the WNS recipe. And in essence, what that does is it allows you to reduce the notification code to send a push notification down to what you see here on the screen. So it's you know, create a wired tile, set a few properties, and call send. So again, all quite nice, quick, straightforward sample.
Cool.
Client code is, again, easy. Now, I think you had Jay on the show last week talking about the storage client library for Windows 8.
Yep.
Did he mention about when that's available?
I believe, yeah, sometime in September, he said.
Okay, right. So, and
are you using that library? Okay.
No, yeah. So until it's available, the way that you can go out and do this is similar to what you do on other clients. So you just utilize HTTP client to interact with the storage service. So in this case, if we scroll down, we can have a quick look at that. So let's say where we're uploading the image. Let me see here. So we take a photo using the camera capture UI. If there's media, then what we need to do is use the HTTP client to go and post, to perform a GET operation against that blob SAS controller, which returns back the shared access signature.
Gotcha.
So that GET operation is passing in a container name and some media. And then once we get that back successfully, we then go and stream directly to storage that image that's been returned by the camera capture UI.
Cool.
So in a few lines of code, you can build out quite powerful scenarios there.
And this will be even easier once we get the updated storage library.
Yes.
I think it's 1.8 library.
Yep.
That we talked about last time in the show.
Yep.
And I assume you'll update this accordingly.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's probably a quick run through it. We didn't look a lot in depth at the code. I'd refer you to the Channel 9 session where I spend an hour and 15 minutes doing that.
Cool.
And building this thing from scratch.
Cool. So that was a great example of building a Windows 8 app with Windows Azure.
Yep.
Using some of the components you use for the toolkit and then just some other code. So cool. Moving on now, we're going to switch over to something a little not .NET or Windows 8, some PHP and Node.js. Cool. So our friend Corey Fowler, who I believe his ban has been lifted from the show. we're easing it in by covering his content.
Okay.
But so Corey actually goes through and talks about how to use the Windows Azure website's app setting from a PHP or Node.js application. So so basically, if you haven't seen, there are settings. So you can basically set your, in .NET, it basically just overrides your web config or your app settings. But in PHP, you need to access, or PHP and Node, you need to access those a little bit different ways.
Okay.
PHP, you one thing to note here is the .env, Windows Azure doesn't support setting the env variables. Right. So you actually have to call the method getenv. That's how with Windows Azure for PHP, that's how you go and retrieve those settings. So he's got some sample code showing how to basically echo some connection strings there.
Cool.
You probably don't want to echo your connection. You probably don't want to write your connection strings on your website, though, like that. Come on, Corey, that's terrible numbers. And then he has the same thing for Node.js. So for Node, you use process.env and then just the name of the app setting.
Okay.
So, and he does the same thing, just has a response write on there. That's another, I guess, tip, semi-sample. I guess there's not any downloads for this just besides what's on his blog, but I think it's something that's good for Windows Azure website developers to know, especially if you're maybe trying the env variable on PHP and wondering why it doesn't work. Yeah, exactly. So the next thing, Corey went ahead and did was actually got Cake PHP running on Windows Azure website. So the good news is it turns out this is actually pretty straightforward. I guess there wasn't any, there wasn't any modifications to Cake PHP or anything special you had to do. Basically, the one thing you need to do is have this web.
What is Cake?
Cake
from the thing you eat.
I actually have no idea.
Okay.
I just learned enough to talk about this blog post. What is CakePHP? Let's just go ahead and click on it and see. It is a CakePHP makes building web applications simpler, faster, and requires less code.
Well, that's an awesome definition.
So it is, I don't know what it is. Is it a CMS?
Probably, maybe just a lib, like a...
Obviously, I was not ready for that question, but...
I do not program in PHP either.
Yeah, I don't either. I just asked Corey about this a few hours ago, and I knew enough to explain it.
Okay.
did not anticipate that out-of-the-blue question about what it is. So whatever CakePHP is, it runs on Windows Azure websites. The one thing you do need to change, though, is I guess there's some rewrite rules to actually... get it working as expected, and Corey provides the web config file. All you actually need to do is, he's got this gist, you can actually just right-click, save target as, and just save that web config file. There's my pictures, not in there probably.
Engagement.
Yes. Should we go through those?
Those on the camera roll.
Camera roll. Oh, we definitely have some crazy pictures in the camera roll. We're not going to go through. Not too crazy, but...
Okay.
Should we find some? There's some pictures of you I know from SkyDrive.
Have a look.
Camera roll. There's a bunch of pictures of my cats. Pictures from planes. There's these pictures. Your massive victory at the arcade.
Yeah, Lucky Strike, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was an epic win.
Yeah, with that we probably could have got two candy bars.
Yeah, we spent a lot. We probably spent $40 between the two of us, and we got tens of thousands of tickets.
Yeah.
And we go to redeem them, and it was like you can get a little tiny Snickers bar.
No,
huge ripoff.
It wasn't. No.
All right. So, anywho, that was my camera roll.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we doing? Oh yeah, the web config file. So awesome. All right, moving on. Let's close that. We're done with all these. So the next few things is I just want to point out a couple things on Hashi's blog. He's been writing a ton of blog posts, and there are a lot of awesome ones. He's got one here on enterprise integration patterns with Windows Azure Service Bus. So some really cool examples on how to use Windows Azure Service Bus. I honestly did not read this, so I don't know the details about it. But
enterprise integration patterns for Service Bus. So he's created an open source project. If you head up to the top, you can go out and help contribute to that project there.
And it's on. It's not a zip file in blob storage. It's on. Yeah. It's on GitHub.
Yep. And if you head back to his blog post, one other key thing that people should do, probably 99% of the audience, please send Hashi an email about this, asking him what his project is about. We'd like to see 20,000 emails in his inbox.
It is. I know that. Yeah. I thought you. This was. I think. I thought you were going to read. No, I'm just kidding. I thought you were going to read this, and I didn't read it. But no, he talks about basically how to messaging patterns and various things like that, and building like high scale enterprise applications. So some really good stuff. Load balancing, various things like that. So if you're building a really high scale application using Service Bus, content based router. Yep. So a lot of cool things. Really great blog post. A lot of good information about Service Bus.
I really love how you just threw in context based routing.
Content based routing.
Okay.
Because he had a.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Definitely though. Hashi.
What is this? This is the same one.
I've been following Hashi's blog for the past couple months since he's joined, and he's really. Writing some great content.
Yeah.
So it's certainly one that you should follow.
Absolutely.
And keep up to speed with.
Yep. And he's also, he did also write a really great post, some kind of with links and guidance on using Windows Azure Active Directory. So that was just released a couple weeks ago. Yep. And some really great content on here. He links to kind of all the relevant blog posts, and then has kind of a summary of the various things to be aware of, creating different things creating a new service principle, things like that. So yeah, really, really great, content. So the next post for Hashi and samples that he has, he actually has a two-part series on using Windows Azure caching and Memcache. So he talks about using the caching services with an ASP.NET application. A lot of really good details. Basically he outlines kind of the architecture, how to use Memcache in your ASP.NET MVC app or ASP.NET application. And then he also goes into the next post on how to use the caching server or caching services in cloud services in a PHP application like a Memcache role. So two really awesome blog posts there. Nice. Definitely check those out. And he's got some samples to go along with it. Very good stuff. All right. And so with that, unless you have anything else to add, let's jump over and you're going to be talking about a really awesome tip of the week.
Cool.
And we're back.
All right. No, but this tip of the week is really cool. So if we look at that blob SAS controller, what we're doing here at the moment on this line of code that you can see on the screen there is we're saying, let's get our a handle to our cloud storage account from a connection string. Now, for those people that have probably gone and used perhaps cloud services before, you've got the service configuration.cscfg. Mm. Now, when you're deploying to Windows Azure websites, you don't actually have that cloud project anymore. And instead, you only have your web config. So this line of code here won't actually work in this particular scenario because it's going to look for a cscfg. So what we've done with the latest drop of Windows Azure is we've provided a NuGet package here. So I've already added a reference to it, but I'll show you what it is called. It's called the Windows Azure Configuration Manager. Now, what we've got within that is a special class called the Cloud Configuration Manager. And what we can do now is we can say Cloud Configuration Manager get setting, and I provide data connection string. So what this means is if you're building, say, an app, that app or that website may be targeting Windows Azure websites, but later you may want to perhaps migrate to cloud services. So what this does in this case is when you say get setting, this will actually look to see if there's a CSCFG. Mm-hmm. And if it is, it will pull that setting from there. If there is no CSCFG, like when you're deploying to Windows Azure websites, it'll check the web config.
Yep. So the app settings or also the connection strings?
Yes, the app settings. So if I come down here and say app settings, you can see that I've got my data connection string set within there.
Cool.
So that's a short tip of the week, but pretty much quite powerful if you're building an application. You want to be able to easily port it from websites to cloud services at some point in the future.
And this also helps even if you're building, a lot of people like to build even a cloud service, but when you're debugging or running locally, you just run in like IIS Express so that you don't have to wait for the emulator to start if you're testing certain things that don't require the emulator. This way, you could actually have like your debug version or your local version of the app using web config, and then your production one could be using the cloud config. Yep. And this is actually a pattern that we've actually used before, and we've shipped a lot of samples. Most of our toolkits actually had similar code.
Toolkits on NuGets.
Yeah, or our NuGets that would do this, like check the cloud config. If the cloud config didn't exist, we'd look at the web config and kind of fall back from there. But this is nice because now this is built in by default. And that NuGet package you showed, if you install the storage libraries or the service bus libraries, that package will be installed as a dependency. And that's sort of the default way from now that you want to use a read from configuration settings. Obviously, the old way is still there, but this is the new streamlined way, which makes it a lot easier for developers.
Yep, certainly worth checking out and ensuring you use it in your projects.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's about it for the show today. Welcome back to the States. And we'll be a little more frequent now with our cloud cover episodes after we're not traveling as much anymore, although we're going to miss, like we mentioned earlier, we'll miss the first 2 weeks of September for Tech Ed Australia and New Zealand. Oh, you've shrunk again. Okay. Yeah. So thank you for watching, and as always, follow us on Twitter @CloudCoverShow. and email your questions to Nick personally. Feel free to comment in the blog and let us know if you have any questions or comments.
Comment on the blog or reach out to me on Twitter.
Cool. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.